All right, y'all, what's going on? Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 109. Of course, I'm Common Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another one, a little late on this one, but I'm here. That's the point, right? It's a little like 8-ish by the time I drop this one, but yeah, I'm here. It's still Tuesday, so technically I'm somewhat on time. But yeah, we back, guys. What's going on? And got a few things to talk about. Not a great deal, you know, because not much went on this past weekend, but there's some things that's coming up in 2023 that I want to discuss, of course. But other than that, not a lot. So don't expect a long episode this time. You know, I'm not going to be here too long. And this is going to be my last stream or video until next week. After that, I'm going to take a few days off. You know, it's the holidays. Of course, I'm going to be grinding on the holidays, you know, so it's just a little vacation away from here. But I'm going to still be, you know, doing what I do out here. So yeah, man, enjoy the stream while it lasts. But yeah, guys, just a few things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the last WMMA fight in the UFC this past weekend, Valismus versus McKenna. Want to give you my thoughts on their performance and what's next for both young ladies. All right. And then get my thoughts on Holly Holm versus Yana Kanaskaya. Let's talk about that a little bit. I know some of y'all are hyped up about the fight. Some of y'all been asking me about it, my thoughts on the fight. So, okay, I'll give you my thoughts on that one. All right. So, yeah, that fight. Sticking with the bantamweight division, let's talk about Amanda Nunes. What's next for her? She's a champion. I haven't really discussed too much as of lately because it's just like there's not as much going on for her as there is for, like, Valentina Shevchenko or even for, like, Wei Li, right? She's the one champion that I think is closer to the door of retirement, which I'll discuss here tonight, y'all. But I really want to just talk about what's next for her in 2023. Okay. And last but not least, this was breaking news because I was going to end it there. But, you know, by the time I drop this show, you know, I already gave you my thoughts in the video a little bit. But there's some other things I want to talk about with Aaron Blanchfield taking on Tyler Santos. Got to talk about that now. Right. So, yeah, man, it's going down, y'all. Like I said, I ain't got much going on this holidays. You know, I'm going to be grinding and that's about it. You know, probably do a little bit of, you know, family things like the day before, right? But that's about it. You know, other than that, it's the same old thing. So yeah, man, this past weekend, Shai Velismus versus Corey McKenna. I know I picked Shai Velismus, but it was a close pick. I didn't really feel like this was a fight she was going to go in there and wash McKenna. Y'all know that. Like I said, McKenna's more so closer to well-rounded. The thing about her is she's still like a work in progress. You know, Cheyenne Valismus is more of a striker, kickboxer, whereas Corey McKenna, though she's still green in a lot of areas, she's still willing to work in different areas. And that's what counts. Like, by the time she gets, like, to a certain age or to a certain level in the rankings, she will be like a well-rounded fighter. She's not scared to strike. She's not scared to go to the ground. She's not scared to clinch. She does a little bit of everything. And that's what I like to see. Still a lot of holes in the game, you know, but with what she's doing, the progress she's showing, she can definitely, you know, make up for a lot of what she does wrong and improve. Some of those holes, they'll be buried. They'll be covered up by the time she gets to be, you know, 24 or 25, something like that, you know. But this fight here against Valismus, I thought Valismus was going to just outstrike her, you know, safely from the outside. But Corey McKenna, man, I like what she was doing with her jab. The shorter fighter was utilizing a good jab in this fight. You know, I mean, opening round, she did get cracked. She cracked Valismus with a 1-2, and I thought it was going to be the other way around. She cracked it with the 1-2, was pushing the pace and just really utilized a good jab, man. Like, and was actually controlling the fight nicely. You know, I thought Cheyenne Valismus was going to be, you know, using angles and moving, but she was the one actually having to reset because Corey McKenna was, like, staying in her chest, you know. Corey McKenna was putting a lot of pressure with her jab. Now, Valismus did crack her with some good 1-2s, and she was landing some good combinations here and there. She stung Corey a couple of times, but I thought McKenna, when she took the fight to the ground, you know, she was able to edge out that first round, you know, with her top position. Granted, she didn't do much with the top position, but still, you gotta say, okay, this girl right here, she's trying. You know, she's trying and she's getting takedowns. And, you know, at her age, I think that's pretty impressive what she can do with mixing her whole game up. Now, Valismus, she opened the second round with some nice right hands again, but that's when Corey switched it up, took it to the clinch. and I thought easily won the round. She had like over 3 minutes of clinch control time. Valismas was just showing a lack of IQ. Was not even like trying to separate. She was accepting this fight in the phone booth instead of trying to use the tie clinch like she was using, you know, knees to the body and then separate, or like grabbing the neck and kind of throwing her opponent, like throwing McKenna off of her, then going back to the center. Instead, she was just like letting her press her to the cage. Like, I wasn't a fan of this. You know, I was not a fan of this work she was doing. Like, it was just not effective. So she was clearly giving McKenna the fight. Then the last round, McKenna wraps it up with another takedown. I mean, Valismas needed the knockout to me, and she had the style. Like, when she was landing a couple of these right hands, when she would step in, she could have followed up with some, you know, good leg kicks, but not enough leg kicks, head kicks. She just lacking in all of this department here, and just trying to fight off her back and accepting these positions. So, you know, Cory McKenna definitely showed the well-rounded game that could, you know, advance in the future. I mean, I'm not going to be like most people say, oh, okay, her ground game wasn't all that, or like she didn't do much with these takedowns. The fact is, she was getting these takedowns and she was getting top position, right? And the girl's only like 23, so she'll get it in a couple more camps and a couple more fights, you know? So in a couple more years, you'll see her, I think, turn it up. But for now, somebody with a shorter reach did so much better with her jab than the taller fighter, the longer fighter. That's why I said long fighter, long reach, don't mean no advantage to me. You know, long fighter, no reach, don't mean no advantage to me, you know? So Cory McKenna, I thought it was 30-27, but 29-28, whatever. I think from here, Cory McKenna, I like seeing there with some more strikers, you know, here and there. Maybe like a Lupe Godinez who mixes up with boxing and wrestling. As for Cheyenne Valismas, you know, she got to get in there with some grapplers too, you know. Maybe somebody like Lupe would be good for her just to kind of test her ground game again. I mean, Yasmin Lucindo, any of those fights, you know, or anybody else y'all can name that's a good grappler at the bottom, you know, that could be a fight for eventually when Kanako Murata comes back. That's a wrestler she could fight. But other than that, like I said, these unranked fighters, man, they're still growing. They're still growing. And I don't know where a lot of them stand right now with theirs. You know, they still have to they got to show me some. I'm just saying. All right. But yeah, let me know in the comment section what y'all thought of this fight. Like I said, it wasn't like it wasn't like going to be this big explosive fight to me. I expected about what I expected from both fighters. Thought Valismas would have did more, but you know, that's how it goes. Got to get back to work, girl. All right. So let's talk about this fight coming up in March. All right. You got this bantamweight fight between Holly Holm and Yana Kanaskaya. Some people asked me about it and, you know, they want to know my thoughts. And first off, I got to say, look, Holly Holm, I still think that she's one of those fighters similar to some boxers I know that just does not know when to quit. You know, I give her a lot of respect for her heart. She's one of the bravest, right? She loves a challenge, but she just doesn't know when to stop. And at the same time, her challenge, when she wants to step up to a challenge, I don't think she's making the right changes in a fight to overcome a challenge, right? She stares, you know, a challenge in the face, you know, she'll step into the fire, but it's like sometimes she doesn't put on the right suit so she doesn't get burnt, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen it time and time again where she loses to some of these elite fighters, but I don't see the right improvements in there, you know? Granted, I think she is trying, but sometimes it just doesn't stick with certain fighters, right? And now that she's 41, it's really hard to see her back in the mix for a title shot, you know, or even getting close to that. Yana Kanaskaya, you know, she's coming off of a maternity leave. You know, she's back in the game. And, you know, she's coming off a loss to Irene Aldana. To me, I thought she should have fought down a little bit, but they got her up at the top against Holly. And I guess Holly's the most logical one for her to fight at the top since she is 41 years old. How I see this fight going, though, like I said, I don't really see this thing being like a big action-packed matchup. You know, I think Holly and Yana, they both know each other well enough to say, okay, I know what to stay away from. At the same time, Yana is a woman that might take more chances since she is a little bit more fresh and younger. And, you know, you might see her go in there and try to use her size if she has the advantage. If she has that chance, she'll put that top control on Holly Holm. Holly Holm, we got to see if she still has the legs. You know, she looks great physically, but what about the inside? That's what I'm always questioning about some of these fighters, that even just athletes in general. You know, they look great on the outside, muscular, but like the wear and tear on their bodies, like what kind of pain are they really in? You know, and I want to see if Holly can still move, and does she still have the hand speed and the gas tank, right? So I think Holly might try to keep this fight like controlled from the outside, do what she does, you know, the usual flurries and head kicks here and there. But it's going to be Yana who is looking maybe to use her striking to get on the inside and press for a clinch fight against the cage and eventually get it down to just control on top, right? So that's the type of fight I see playing out here with this one. But it's not like really like this big explosive fight. I was thinking, oh, man, like we need to see this, decide who's going to go for the strap next, right? Because we know Holly already been there, done that against Nunes, and we saw how that turned out. Yana Kanaskaya, in my opinion, is not really title contender ready, right? I don't know if she'll ever be. You know what I'm saying? I'm just giving my opinion because, you know, I saw the Irene Aldana fight, and even like a Julianna Pena, I think, would be too much for her. Yeah, she beat Caitlin Vieira, but, you know, that was, you know, kind of an uneventful fight where she just used that one strength, and I don't think that'll work against some of these other girls, right? So, yeah, man, Yana Kanaskaya, I think I'm going for Holly Holm, but if she was to be the one to win, I mean, that would be a different look for the division, which they need right now. Holly, I think, is kind of a situation where she might have to take L to get a hint, you know, just to kind of help push her out the door for her own good. I know a lot of people want to be on Fight Code and say, oh, no, that person's a warrior, they deserve it. I think about a person's well-being a lot, especially in a fight like this. 41 years old, I don't know if there's anything I want to see her do in there, even try to recapture glory. Not even whenever she's, you know, she hadn't even got close to recapturing glory, right? So, yeah, I'm going to watch the fight, of course. I'm going to watch this one, see how it turns out. I'm going for Holly, but I still think, you know, it's going to be a close, tight-knit fight, a little uneventful at times. And I wouldn't be surprised if Yana got the edge in this one. Really, I wouldn't. All right. Well, let me know what y'all think, guys. That's about all I have on that fight for now. I mean, really, pretty much it. But let's keep it in the 135-pound division. Let's talk Amanda Nunes here real quick. Amanda Nunes, look, she's the champion out of all the WMA champions that I think is closer to retirement at this point. That's why it's been kind of hard for me to decide, like, what's next for a big challenge for her. Because, let's see, Amanda Nunes pretty much dominated her division. And her secondary weight class, featherweight, offers nothing. You know, she already beat Cyborg, Megan Anderson, Felicia Spencer, the best at what you could call a division, right? It's not even really a division now, right? So that division doesn't offer much. In the division she's in, you know, she, like I said, she already beat everybody. There's a couple different looks that she could fight again. It's different than Valentina. That's why I think Nunes is much closer to retirement than Valentina, because Valentina has options. Options in her own division. Options at her secondary weight class, which is 135. Third fight with Nunes, right? So it's a little bit more interesting for her. Not saying that Valentina, her resume is better than Nunes, but I'm just telling you that I think Nunes is much closer to the end of her career, you know, and I wouldn't have a problem if she decided to retire today, really. You could cap it off as one of the best WMA fighters. Some people think she's a GOAT, right? I don't do GOAT talk anymore. But anyways, yeah, Nunes just has the list, you know, has the bodies on her resume that can kind of just say, okay, what else can we do? Well, if she continues on in 2023, I just wanted to take a look at some of the names here that she has that can be presented to her. Which one should it be? Somebody asked me, who do I think she's fighting at this point? Well, let me see. Out of the four people I have up here, let's start with Caitlin Vieira. All right. Well, Caitlin Vieira alone, I think she'd be a different look, but she's tied up against Rocky Pennington coming up in the coming year. So if she didn't have to take this fight, then yeah, I would say probably her and like a Brazil in a fight in Brazil. You know, she gives a different look, you know, size, round game, some power to her shots. But I still think like Amanda would, you know, dominate. But I just think that's the best we could do as far as like a different. Well, I'm going to say the best we could far as a different look. But she's one different look for Amanda that should have happened before and we could just come, you know, just try to revisit back what, like 2017 when this fight was supposed to happen, you know, maybe we can kind of get somewhat of an idea of what the challenge would have looked like. But I think Kellen Vieira, with her two wins against Holly and Tate, you know, kind of earned her that spot at this point. I know she got knocked out by Irene Aldana, but hey, you know, she's been the more active, I guess, right? So that's one we could look at. Going down here, Juliana Pena, the third fight with Juliana Pena. That's a fight that, at this point, when you look at what's going on in the division, it could happen. I mean, the first fight, Juliana Pena, she got Amanda out of there in two rounds. And the second fight, Amanda Nunes won every single round, pretty much shut her out, but still came out looking like she'd been ran through a meat grinder, which is crazy. I mean, Amanda Nunes left on crutches, had a swollen eye, everything. You wouldn't believe that she just knocked Pena down five times, busted her up, knotted her up, and shut her out. And you wouldn't believe Pena lost every single round the way Amanda looked. You thought, you would have thought it was like a Mayweather-Gatti, a Ward-Gatti fight. But it was really a Mayweather-Gatti fight because she just outclassed her in every single round, but she still got bit plenty of times by the dog in there, right? So with that, it makes Pena look like the more logical opponent because she's bringing the entertainment, the action. She can get in Amanda's head. You know, she's a physical challenge somewhat. She's always there. You know, she won't quit fighting. She is a five-round fighter. Like, her lack of IQ in the second fight, you know, cost her, but she's still dangerous, right? She's much more dangerous than anybody in the division, I think. You know, that's the thing about her. No quitting her is what really keeps her going. So that makes her look like the more – it makes her look like the more attractive opponent than all the rest, right? So let's hold off on her here. Irene Aldana. Irene Aldana definitely has a different look for Amanda. You know, she's definitely got something I think would be a problem. You know, the boxing, the left hook, if she can set it up, if she stays in the fight. Sometimes with Irene, the minuses outweigh the pluses with her. Like, she has the boxing, the movement, the range, the power. But that lack of ground game, the accepting takedowns, and sometimes fighting, taking too many rounds off costs her. Because even in the Macy Chason fight, I thought she could have clearly won it. I mean, if it wasn't for that heel kick to the stomach, I mean, Macy was looking like she was about to take this fight to the ground and get it again. You know what I mean? Because she did win that second round convincingly with her ground game. And then when she started to take Irene down again, if she hadn't got up, you know, and then eat that heel to the stomach, she probably would have stayed in it and it could have been interesting. So Irene, though, she stopped Macy Chason, I don't think it was like one-sided, right? So you still see like there's some up and downs in the way she fights too. So I think even with Amanda, like Amanda might eat a shot or two, but she could eventually, even with her striking, you know, stepping up, she might give Irene problems and then eventually get the fight to the ground and just ride it out for five rounds until she stops Irene Aldana, right? So I think Irene has some skills, but I don't think she has that same push and like Juliana Pena, that same type of dog. So still looking interesting for Juliana Pena. Rocky Penitz taking on Kellen Vieira. She's talking about trying to get back in the title mix, and I don't know about that because the difference between her and Pena, you know, Pena, she took a beating, but she still got in her licks. But Rocky, man, she suffered a bad beating in that fight. I mean, that junk was horrible. I think that was like one of the worst muggings I've seen Nunes put on against any opponent. That just looked like they were broken, right? Like the Pena fight, Pena had her head split and she dropped five times against Nunes. But Rocky was like beat down. I mean, her head was split. I think her leg was damaged. And her team was trying to still let her go on, and she looked broken. Now, I think, what did she say? She didn't want to go on in that fight. So I was like, yeah, she was broken all around. Like, that's the worst beating I've seen, you know? So what I've seen from Rocky, though, as of lately, is an improving fighter. But she's improved, I think, to a level of beating everybody else in the division except Nunes. Like, she can outclass these young girls like she's been doing, you know, Aspen Ladd, Macy Chason, she stopped. I think she can still hand out some butt whippings. You know, I think she has a probably under Irene Aldana, I say she has the best boxing or it could be tied up because, you know, I think her boxing is really looking sharper, her jab and her feints. Clinch game is tight. Clinch game is tight. So when she takes on Caitlin Barria, I think she'll outbox Caitlin Barria and even fight a good clinch game and tie her up. But even off the boxing, I think she can win that alone against Caitlin Barria. So I think she still possesses a lot of veteran skills that could bring her to gatekeeper status, but I don't know if she could ever, you know, take on Amanda Nunes again and win. So she's kind of out of the question. I like Rocky, but out of the question for me. I've already seen that. So I think what it comes down to is really Aldana and Pena here. You know, Pena, for one, I was kind of on the fence before, and I was one of the ones saying she don't deserve it, get another fight first. But with what's going on in the division and the way she talks and the way she performs and the way she gets under Amanda's skin, entertainment wise, why not? Right? Why not? Or have her and an Aldana fight for a title eliminator, right? Let that happen, or just give it to Pena then. Because I mean, it's kind of like you want to see the one that doesn't show any quit, the one that you know is going to keep coming for five rounds. Because the one that's going to keep coming, they're always in that, they always keep the champion in danger, right? So really, for me, I guess we would say Juliana Pena in third fight in 2023, right? Because it doesn't seem like they're lining anybody else up for her, and she just continues to post about Amanda Nunes, wanting Amanda Nunes. Like, the matchmakers hadn't said anything. Pena hadn't said anything about fighting anybody else. So it's like even the UFC is kind of like, we don't really know what's going on with the 135-pound division. They're putting more time and energy in 115 and 125 now. So, if anything, I think just go ahead and give her trilogy and see where it goes, right? You know? I mean, I would prefer Pena Aldana, but since they can't decide, but since Irene hasn't been calling for the shot, it looks like Pena might be the one, right? You know? That's what I'm saying. But I think 135 just needs a makeover in general. Like, the way they're pushing up flyweights, I think they need to push up some more bantamweights and sign more bantamweights at 135, though. But let me know what y'all think in the comment section, man. I don't know. I just hope they can do something with 135 at some point, man. But, yeah, I really do think Amanda, this could be her last year, in my opinion. I think it could be if she gets in at least two title defenses. I ain't going to ever say three for her anymore. If she gets in, like, two, that might be it for her. Yeah, but yeah, I'll probably say rubber match at this point. If they don't do the Aldana fight, Aldana is a different look, but I think Pena's the one with no quit in her. So yeah, let me know what y'all think, guys. Well, last but not least, speaking of pushing up flyweights, video already put out. You know, I already put that out talking about this fight a little bit, but Santos Blanchfield is going down, y'all. Talking about the business side of it a little bit more in this segment. I think the UFC is at a point where, you know, they don't want the same old thing for Valentina. You know, they just don't want the same old challenge that steps up and loses, you know. So they're trying to build up and capitalize off of the energy that's being brought by these two and fighters like Ibas, you know. So with Valentina not wanting the rematch, I think that they partially agreed with her, or pretty much agreed with her, that Santos needs one more fight. So they want to build her back up to make it even more interesting, right? They don't just want to go back into a rematch and say, oh, you know, let's do it. They want to make this something bigger. They want to make it bigger. So what they want to do is bring in another fighter like Blanchfield, who's also an excellent grappler, you know, a young, hungry fighter that has no yellow bone and no, you know, yellow streak on. No fighter has a yellow streak on. Let me just say she's a little bit more gutsy than most. All right. So when you got a fighter like that going in there, making her way up, you want to put both up against each other. I'm just trying to think how they think here. Blanchfield, to me, I think she could have done with a couple more fights, but right now, they want this thing to be a win-win for the UFC here, because whoever wins this fight is going to be for surely calling out Valentina. We know that, right? We know Tyler Santos wants it now. She just has a barrier in front of her, and that's Blanchfield. So the minute she beats her, she's going to say, hey, I want my rematch, doggone it, right? She's going to be, I want that rematch. And we know Blanchfield, already been talking about one day when I get up there, I'm going to beat the champion, right? So with her signing a four-fight deal, she's already like, okay, I'm in agreement with the UFC. I'm ready for the upper echelon. And with the upper echelon being that top contender that also wants a title shot, right, she can sneak in and grab that title shot. And she, believe me, she's going to take it because look at this energy that she's bringing. She's not going to say, I want to fight back down and fight one more fight. She's put herself in this position because she agreed with the UFC. So she's saying that if I fight this title eliminator top five and I beat this person in convincing fashion, I'm ready, right? And for her, thinking that way, what would it be like for her to say, oh, I want one more fight now? See, some of the other fighters, you can argue, like Grasso and Manon, they fought their way up, but there was always energy where they said, you know, I want to perfect something. I want to do this step by step. You know, I want to take my time with it, right? But with Blanchfield, we know for a fact that she's wanting it. And who else is gonna build her up besides Santos? Santos already been in there with Valentina. She already going in there with a contender that possibly or arguably could have won in a lot of people's eyes. You know, so that type of fighter like Santos is just one step away from the champ. So if you could go in there and blow out Santos or dominate, we know Valentina is a different fighter, but that proves you're on a level of, okay, I'm better than the rest at this point, right? Possibly I could go in there and do something Santos didn't do and beat Valentina in maybe a better technical fashion or a brutal fashion. Who knows, right? So the UFC is looking at it in all these different ways now. So they want two fighters that they know for sure is going to call out the champion, right? That's not going to give them a hard time to matchmaker say, okay, now we got to put this on hold, put that on hold. Oh, this can't happen, right? Now, granted, I think they would have made the Manon fight regardless of her wanting another fight. So Manon would have taken the title fight regardless because, you know, she was number one. But now she had the ruptured ligament. She has surgery. So that's why she's out. So they have to look somewhere else. But I think they would have put her in there and she would have had to take in that fight. That's the thing people don't understand. Like, she would have taken the fight. But in this case now, they need somebody that's going to take it for sure. So whichever side wins, they have to make sure they win so they can have somebody prepared for Valentina. Because right now it's been good competition coming up. Not really slim pickings like 135, but, you know, they have to start lining this year up, you know. And who knows, you know, if Aaron gets this victory, it could just put a whole different spin on the flyweight division, right? So, yeah, man, I just think for me, like, with Aaron, with what she has and what she's gifted at, it could be nurtured a little bit more. But this happens sometimes. You know, this happens sometimes. If somebody else doesn't want it, they have to step in and take that opportunity, right? You know, they have to take that opportunity. You know, with her new four-fight deal, you know, she's looking to definitely bag Valentino on one of these four fights, right? I think early on, though, like just early now, Santos still possesses a lot. So even if Aaron comes up short, you know, she'll learn a lot from this fight. And with those three other fights, she can still get in some other fights, like I said, and get that work in and possibly just push her way up the ranks slowly again. So it's not over for her regardless. It's not like, even though she can't, you know, grow slower and she's jumping way up now, if she loses, she can still backtrack and say, oh, okay, I can work again. You know, kind of like how Macy had to do with Roxy. You know, she had to get that work in from Roxy, then say, oh, I got to go back and reinvent myself and rework it. So with Blanchfield, I don't think her fall will be as harder, but, you know, she'll be like, oh, okay, if I take an L, so what? I'll come back, fight a couple more fights, and then boom, put myself back in title contention, right? But yeah, business-wise, I think that the UFC is looking to make this thing interesting with two styles that I won't say are full-on kryptonite to Valentina, but are kind of her weakness. You know, strong fighters who like to get takedowns, strong fighters who are very good at their jiu-jitsu. You know, Blanchfield being a bit more technical, Santos being a little bit more rugged, still technical too, but being a little bit more physical and rugged in there. You know, those are the ones that are going to be problems, I think. So they want that win-win. Two things going for both. They both want the championship. They both will call her out. and they both have those styles that could be a problem for Valentina. So they said, okay, we got to go with this one. Let's do it, right? So, yeah, guys, I would have liked to see Chikagin in there with Santos and Grasso in there with Blanchfield, but I'm going to watch this fight because I think it's going to be good. When it comes down to it, it's not a bad fight. It might be a little too soon, but it's still a good fight. Okay, it's still a good fight, guys. So let me know what y'all think. But that's all I got on this one, y'all. I'm done 30 minutes in. Yeah, so yeah, I'm done with this one, guys. But yeah, let me know what y'all think in the comment section. For sure, though. And yeah, last stream and video until next Tuesday. I am taking the rest of the week off, guys. I said, you know what? Not much going on. It's the holidays. Let me go ahead and drop this episode here for y'all. It's a little later, I know. But once I put this out, we'll be back next Tuesday for the new year show, you know, year in review show, you know, going into the next year. And probably I'll do some open links, you know, if people want to come in and give me a favorite fights or what they think knockout of the year is or whatever, you know, we can do that. All right. But yeah, I'm going to run through, you know, some of my year ends, you know, like fight, favorite fight, best fight, worst fight, best fighter. And I won't do worst fighter, though. See, worst fight is different than worst fighter. I ain't gonna never call somebody a bad fighter like that, man. I mean, you know, yeah, I ain't gonna do that. But worst fight, you know, it takes two to tango. If you put on bad performance, I call it out for sure. But yeah, guys, that's all I got on this. Make sure y'all subscribe in the to the YouTube channel and to the podcast platforms. That's what I'm gonna say from now on. If you go to iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that, you can catch this show, hashtag CB99 Talks. But yeah, appreciate new subscribers. But yeah, we'll be back next week, guys. So I'm gonna say this: have a Merry Christmas, have a safe holiday for y'all, and we'll be back next Tuesday. Combo Breaker 99, I'm out. Subscribe, peace.